Welcome to this episode of Marvelous Mouse Talk. I'm your host, Marcella Zimmerman, and I'm joined today by Mary Alice Holtz.
Hi.
Ginger Pierce.
Hi.
And Chelsea Hart.
Hi.
As always, this podcast is brought to you by MarvelousMouseTravels.com, where we're creating marvelous memories one family at a time. Ginger, Chelsea, and Mary Alice were able to spend a few days experiencing the Galactic Star Cruiser and are here to share their experience with you today. Hi, ladies.
Hey, Marcella.
Hi.
Your trip looked fantastic. I'm super, super jealous. And I know I say that a lot, but I'm really, really jealous of what y'all got to do.
One could say it was out of this world, Marcella.
Oh.
It literally was.
And I think it was one of those trips that was better in person than on social media. You know, sometimes you see things and it's the highlight reel. The whole trip was the highlight reel.
Yeah, that's a good point. True. I would agree with that.
Me too.
I feel like y'all should just like carry the camera with you 24/7 and just given us the whole, you know, live feed of what was going on.
Well, stay tuned to the Marvelous Mouse Travels YouTube channel, because that very thing is coming up in the next week or so. We did a vlog, a day-by-day vlog, where I literally did carry the camera pretty much everywhere we went.
That's awesome. And that also gets linked in our show notes too, so you'll be able to check out our channel there. So do y'all want to tell me a little bit about, I guess we can start with check-in. What is that like when you get there?
So as you're driving up to the Star Cruiser, from the outside, it doesn't really look like much. Like, you kind of wonder to yourself for a second, like, are we in the right place? Because, like, you know, it is a little bit of a strange approach to it. But once you roll up to the actual building, there are cast members outside directing you where to go. There is valet parking, so that's really nice. You know, they will tell you when you can pull up and park, and they'll help you get your luggage, and they take it over to bell services. And then they have water bottles stationed out there for you, because, you know, it's Florida, it's always hot. And then they kind of hold you in a line, and you get the opportunity to take pictures in front of the Star Cruiser sign. And then you go through security, and then you walk into the actual building, and there's kind of like a little holding room for you where you watch an informational video. And then they load you onto the pod, which is going to take you from Earth to the Halcyon in space. And then once you exit your launch pad, you are then met by another cast member who takes you kind of on an orientation tour of the ship. So they kind of walk you through the main spaces. They take you down to your room. They give you a tour of your room. They introduce you to your droid. So it's definitely not your typical check-in process for a Disney hotel, where you can just kind of check in online and show up. It's much more interactive, and you have more personalized attention, I think, from the cast members.
Yeah, I would agree. And we also got, I can't remember if you said that, Ginger, but we got our M band, which is your magic band, when we were standing in line. Mm-hmm. And we were also instructed to go ahead and get our data pads set up and running. And your data pad is just your fancy way to say your mobile device, and it's the Play Disney app. But you do want to make sure that you have that up to date, because as soon as you step foot in the Galactic Star Cruiser, your adventure begins. So you're going to need your data pad ready to go, and you're going to need your magic band ready to go.
And everything kind of starts even before, like even at the security checkpoint, you know, they're like, make sure you don't have any blasters on you and stuff. Like, it's very in theme from the second you drive onto property. And it just, you start that immersiveness right away.
And it was really efficient. If you're wondering like what time check-in is and things like that, it's at 1 p.m. We do recommend getting there a little before 1 p.m. because a line had already formed. But like Ginger said, they had water waiting for us. And because you're on this, you know, kind of exclusive experience with just, 100 cabins only, the line is not super long and it does move quickly. But they definitely take care of you while you were in that line, get your bags quickly. And the bags actually made it to the room, like as soon as we got to the room, as soon as we were escorted there and kind of got our little tour, the bell services was there with our bags waiting. So very efficient. I was very impressed by that.
Mm-hmm. It's very much a concierge experience.
Yeah, but that's in space. A great way to describe it.
Space concierge.
So I had obviously seen things, you know, online prior to visiting, because you couldn't not. And I just, you know, wanted to learn about it. But then actually getting on board, I was blown away. I know it's Disney and they always do things top notch, but just walking in. And like I said, I think it's part of it was kind of being in that experience before you even stepped on board, made it very real. And that's the one thing I will say about it. Like so much of it felt real. You didn't feel like you were in an attraction or even in a show. Like this is things that were happening around you and the theming. Mm-hmm. I mean, down to every little detail was just incredible.
I completely agree. You know, I am a huge Star Wars fan. And so this was kind of like, you know, a dream to me to get to do something like this. And I mean, I caught it. I was editing, you know, our vlog for YouTube last night. And so I got to kind of relive through the video footage when I walked onto the Halcyon for the first time. And I literally gasped, like you can hear it on camera. I kind of went, you know, like it was just, it's completely, it's just stunning in person. And I completely agree with Chelsea that it is more impressive when you're actually there than it is in any video that I've seen anywhere. And so there's nothing else like this at Disney World. I don't think there's really anything like this anywhere. Like it's kind of a cross between an escape room and a video game and a character experience and a cruise. And like, I mean, it's just so many different things put together, but the level of immersiveness and the amount of time and attention that you get with characters is really unparalleled anywhere else at Disney World.
So we mentioned that we were escorted to our cabin and we were actually on deck four, which we really enjoyed being on deck four. So we would highly recommend that. We were right near all of the action, weren't too far away if we needed to step back in the room to drop something off or if we felt like something big was getting ready to happen next, we had a quick place to get to that. However, let's talk about the room now because it was really, really cool. Of course, all of the main areas are themed. Every little detail is themed and your room is no different than that. But before I talk about all those little details, I have to say, like Chelsea said, it was hard not to look at pictures before we went. So I had obviously seen pictures of the cabins on social media. And from a picture, I felt like they looked a little tight, like they looked a little small. So I was a little concerned about that going in, but it was not like that at all. We had four adults staying in one room together, plenty of bags to take up the room, and there was still plenty of room. They're laughing because I brought the most bags, but we had plenty of room and we never felt like anything was obstructing our way, even with four of us staying in there. We were lucky enough to have a fifth sleeper room. So our room could sleep up to five. We had a queen bed. We had two berths, as they're called. So the bunk beds. And then we had one pull down Murphy bed under the TV. So if you've ever stayed at a Walt Disney World resort that had a fifth sleeper, it was very similar feel to that. We also had a TV in our room and everything I'm describing here, I'm not going to do justice to because everything was themed. When I say everything, right down to the remote control for the TV, your TV screen looked like some sort of crazy spaceship, like data information thing when you weren't using it. And we had a window out into the galaxy. You can open and close that. Your kids would absolutely love that as well. And underneath our window, there was a stowaway table and a stowaway set of stools. You could retract those, pull them in and out as needed. So if you know your kids needed to have a little snack in the room, you definitely had a place for that. But then you could tuck it away if you needed more space. Something that I also really appreciated about the cabin was it had a lot of storage. So those little stools were actually storage cubes. There was storage under the queen size bed. Then we had a closet where you could hang your garments if needed. We had some robes in there. We also had another closet next to that had shelves in it. So if you needed to like stick some bags in there, you could. And also in that particular closet, there was a safe for your valuables if you wanted to keep them there. And there was also a little mini fridge, which I didn't remember seeing or hearing about before I went. So I was pleasantly surprised to see that. And then kind of working your way back toward the main doorway, you had a little, I guess you would call it a vanity area. This is where you could, you know, put on your makeup, extra person could get ready. But this is also where you had water in the room and some special things that I won't reveal were there for us too. Our bathroom was full size. It was not what you would expect if you were on a typical cruise ship. You didn't have these tight quarters to squeeze into. It was a full size regular bathroom. We had a full size shower with two shower heads. One of those was a rain shower head, and we had a vanity sink area and a separate toilet area. Everything was super cool in there, very themed. The Galactic Star Cruiser symbol can be found on just about everything. And I know a lot of people probably also thinking that those bunk beds look small and tiny and only for kids. Now, I'm not the tallest person in the world, but I had plenty of space in that bunk because I did sleep on the top bunk. The outside of the bunk looks well, I guess it kind of has a facade on it to keep with the theming. So there's actually more space once you are in the bunk than it appears on the outside. So it was a really cool place, and I can see the kids really loving that.
And you forgot my favorite part.
Oh, the robot. So Chelsea can talk about our space robot in our room. We had a droid,
which I think was amazing. I liked interacting with her. Mary Alice, not so much, but I did.
What Chelsea doesn't know that the droid and I had had conversations on previous days, and I knew that the droid is kind of long-winded when you ask to talk to her. She likes to talk to you for a while. So my third interaction, I was ready to move on pretty quickly.
But you can turn it on. It's just in a little screen, you know, and she'll pop up, and you can actually, she'll ask you things at first, kind of gauge where you're at as far as where your allegiances lie and stuff like that. But then she could do things like, my favorite was she sang me a bedtime song or a lullaby. I didn't get to hear a bedtime story, but she did do that. And then, you know, there was so much to do. You definitely could do this again. One thing I wish I would have known ahead of time is that if you're nice to the droid, she can actually help you kind of unlock certain areas on the ship for you that that you can unlock in other ways through missions and stuff. But it is way more interactive than I had thought.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, one thing to think about too, because there's not any natural light in there, it is really, really dark when you're sleeping. So if you're that person who loves your blackout curtains, this is a perfect room for you. I am that person, and I slept like a baby.
And if you're not that person or have little kids that like light, there are several different places you could keep a little night light on. Mm-hmm. All right. Next on the list is food. Where do we start? there was so much food.
Yeah. And right as soon as we got on, like I think that was the first thing we did really was go to lunch.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. So right away there, and it was, everything has a strange sounding name, and the presentation, you know, doesn't necessarily look like what it is, but everything I ate, I enjoyed. And right off the bat, the first thing I had was like a grilled cheese, but it was like almost like a waffle. It looked like
it was like a bubble like a waffle.
Yeah. And oh my God, it was so good with tomato soup. But of course it wasn't called that. It was called like red fruit puree or something. So you got to get past the names and the presentation, but the food was really good. And it was just, there was so much of it. You would not go hungry there.
Right. Yeah. Breakfast and lunch are kind of, you know, buffet style. But what I really appreciated about that is that they gave you small portions of a lot of different things. So if you wanted to try multiple entrees, you totally could. And we did every breakfast and lunch. And I really loved everything that I tried. Like, I can't really think back on anything that I try that I'm like, oh, that was, you know, that was terrible or too weird. And I think that's something a lot of people are worried mm-hmm. about with Star Cruiser mm-hmm. is, especially with kids, is there anything there that my kids were going to eat? There's always chicken and mac and cheese. There's always some sort of flatbread. So there's plenty of options for kids and even pickier adults.
Yeah. And I would strongly encourage you, even if you're not a super adventurous eater, I'm not, I'm somewhere in the middle between picky and super adventurous. Just take it and try it. It's all included. It is going to look a little strange. It is going to have a weird name, but that's all a part of the theming. But a lot of the food is, you know, traditional stuff that you would be used to eating back on Earth. So don't let your eyes fool you into not trying new things, because there was some really, really delicious menu items and things that I definitely went back for seconds for.
Mm-hmm. Another thing too, is there's always snacks available, which was really cool, because even if you're hungry during like off hours, there was a station that did have snacks, and they changed daily, and a lot of them were prepackaged as well. So you can mm-hmm. grab a couple, you know, to take back to your room.
Mm-hmm. That's the other thing to mention too. Chelsea mentioned how the snacks change daily, but the menu items do too. So you're not eating the same buffet lunch 2 days in a row. You do have different menu items, so it makes it exciting. You want to go check out and see what's there, because you don't want to miss anything. Or, you know, also included in your buffet serving times are going to be blue and green milk. And so I know Ginger's daughter loves, is it the green milk, Ginger?
The blue milk. The blue.
I'm so mm-hmm. sorry. I'm not a fan of either one, but they're on tap there. So, you know, if you've never tried it before, or it's something you always have to make sure you get every time you visit Galaxy's Edge, you've got more than enough to have while you're on your voyage.
Definitely. And also too, you know, if you want something a little more substantial than the little snacks that they have sitting out in the lobby, but the main dining room is maybe not available yet, you can go to Sublet Lounge, which I'm sure we'll talk about more later, but you can order appetizers, like heavy appetizers. So again, mm-hmm. more flatbreads. Mm-hmm. They had a really great cheese plate that we tried. You know, they have mm-hmm. lots of different options. So you're never going to go hungry, you know, no. And those things are included in the price of what you pay to board Star Cruiser. So just like with an all-inclusive resort or with a cruise, your food comes as just part of the deal.
Right. There's no upcharge for any menu items. There's no pricing next to anything that's a food item. You can have as much as you'd like. If there was something at dinner that you really enjoyed, you could ask for another one. Think it's important to note too, because we haven't talked about dinner yet, is that dinner is not buffet style. Dinner is actually full course meal served to you, which if you've ever been on a Disney cruise, it had a very similar feel to that for me. Just knowing that we had the same server both nights. The second night at dinner, the server had already prepared our beverages from the night before. Just those little Disney differences that you find on Disney Cruise Line, you're going to find on the Galactic Star Cruiser as well.
Yeah. And I can speak too, as well, to I have dietary restrictions. So I am a type 2 diabetic, and I also have some food allergies. And so both nights before dinner, our server had actually, you know, looked at my dietary restrictions and spoken to the chef and consulted with him and told me everything that I could or couldn't have that was going to be served that night. And they were really good about, you know, tagging my plate as the allergy-friendly plate, you know, talking with me about my needs. I heard several other guests who were speaking with the chef directly who had maybe gluten intolerance or a nut allergy or something like that. So if you have dietary restrictions, just like Disney always does, they do a fantastic job with that aboard the Star Cruiser as well.
And I did like, even though it was only two nights, that we had the same server. Because like you said, like she knew about your dietary restrictions, but also the second night at dinner, everyone had their drinks. Like mm-hmm. someone we were with asked for limes the first night. And guess what? The second night there was a bowl of limes there. So it's just that like
extra mile that Disney does so well.
Yeah, for sure. And I will say that, like, you are very entertained at dinners as well. I won't give away any storylines or plot twists, but it is a whole experience while you're in there, which is really similar as well to Disney Cruise Line.
Oh, and one thing, because it's compared to a cruise a lot, I actually saw this question come up. Are you seated with other parties? I did not notice that. I believe the only time you are seated with other people is if you do the captain's table dinner, which is an extra charge, where there is a table in the middle where the captain will come and have, you know, dine with you. I believe that is the only place that you will be seated with other guests.
And also too, if you're a coffee drinker, like I am, at dinner, you can get unlimited cappuccinos and lattes, and you can also get those anytime in the Sublight Lounge. So plenty of coffee to be had, along with just regular brewed coffee as well.
And speaking of the Sublight Lounge, that was one of my favorite places. One, because the drinks were incredible, but also, out of everywhere on the ship, I felt like it was, I keep saying the most real, but really it was the most real to me, because you could just go in there and there were characters that were other passengers or people on the ship just kind of flitting in and out. There was sabacc games going on. Like, it just felt like a real bar, but in space, you know, and that's what I really liked about it, is it wasn't like an experience to go in there in that sense. You could just head in and who knows, maybe you'd end up, you know, on a mission or watching something else happen. So it was a very good, like, central place to be.
And the drinks
were so good.
Yeah, they were. And there's lots of, too, if you're thinking like, oh, my kids are with me, you know, what are they going to find to drink in the lounge? There are lots of great non-alcoholic options, too. You know, because I am diabetic, I typically have to go for non-alcoholic things. And so I tried a couple of the ones that they had, and they were absolutely delicious. So your kids can find things to enjoy in there, too.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the theming in there. Kind of reminds you of Oga's a bit, but a more posh feel in there. And you could pretty much go in there anytime you wanted to. It was open all day. That's actually where grab and go breakfast is held too. And you don't feel like you're fighting for a table or a place to sit. So you can spend as much time in there as you'd like.
I feel like Sublight Lounge is everything that I want Oga's Cantina to be, but it's just not, right?
So yes.
Oga's, if you've been to Oga's is a little bit uncomfortable. It's, you're probably going to be standing. You're probably going to be packed in there with a lot of other people, but Sublight Lounge is not like that at all. And I think the reason why is because the atrium is right off of Sublight Lounge and you have tons of seating in there too. So like there's plenty of places to sit things down, to sit down and enjoy things. So I never felt crowded or cramped on any part of the Star Cruiser, which I think that's something else, you know, that people kind of worry about is, am I going to feel claustrophobic? I am claustrophobic by nature and I never felt uncomfortable anywhere.
I am too. Yeah. And I also get motion sickness and never felt like that on board.
And I think that just speaks to the design. They did so well with it that you don't feel like you're enclosed. And if you did, you know, feel a little bit like that, they do have a climate simulator, which is essentially, it's like a, it looks like it's open air, but it actually is a big window. So you can go out and it's supposed to simulate, you know, being back on Earth. So if it's sunny out, it's sunny. If it's raining, it's raining. So you get a little bit more of a, okay, I'm outdoors type of feel. But I would say most people on board were any, you know, we're only going in there just to like check it out. It wasn't like a I need to escape type place.
Right.
I was also going to say, so was there like a drink that y'all watched be made or y'all got that was like an experience all by itself?
Oh, what was that thing that y'all ordered a couple times that was so pretty?
Which, so Carrie had blue the one. Fiery, oh, the blue one was the hot icebreaker.
Yeah, that I saw, I think.
But then Carrie actually ordered the fiery Mustafarian and it came with like lava to put in. And that drink is cool because it doubles as a souvenir. It's more expensive, but it comes with the glass. So they'll actually, when you're done with it, you just let them know and they'll wrap you up a new glass to take home. But if you did like the drink, you can order it without the souvenir glass. So that was one of two that came that way. So the presentation on those is just awesome. And it's nice because if you enjoy the drink, you also end up with a souvenir that you can't get anywhere else.
Yeah. And there was a different drink menu available at dinner versus what was available in the Sublight Lounge. Mm-hmm. So plenty of beverage choices.
And you could take everything with you, which was nice as well. You weren't like limited. Like Ginger said, even if you grabbed something in the Sublight, you could go to the atrium, but you could also bring that to dinner with you, which I did one night. Just because I really liked, I was drinking the Hoth icebreakers and that was, I think, my favorite. So I grabbed one to bring to dinner. And you can basically take anything around the whole ship.
Also, right off of the atrium is the gift shop. And I spent quite a bit of time and money in the gift shop. But the reason why is because they have a ton of exclusive merchandise in there. So it's things that you cannot find in Galaxy's Edge that you're not going to really be able to get anywhere but on the Star Cruiser. And so I got one of the exclusive magic bands, brought it home to my husband. My kids collect pins, so I bought every pin that they offer. I think there was 5 or 6 pins in there. And then I also got a really great, it's a laptop bag, but it's a great backpack to carry around with you through Galaxy's Edge and even just around the ship. Like I kept my wallet and anything that I needed in that. And then they also have really great clothing. So, you know, we'll talk a little bit about how we dressed and how we prepared to dress on the Star Cruiser here in just a second. But if you wanted to go like full in costume, or if maybe you didn't bring anything with you and you got there and saw other people dressed up and you're like, oh my goodness, I need something, the gift shop has you covered. Like they have a ton of things if you really want to get into that immersive experience and buy some costume material. So lots of really cool stuff in there, including some really pretty jewelry that you can also mm-hmm. only get on the Star Cruiser, as well as, help me out guys, there's a lightsaber hilt, mm-hmm. correct? That you yes. can only get there.
Shield.
Yeah, the shield, which you can't get anywhere else. So lots of really unique items.
And I think they do a good job with keeping it open most of the time, because if you're like me, you go in there, you buy things, and you say, no, I don't really need this. I'll just get this. And then you think, well, I can't get it anywhere else.
And how many times did you do? How many times did you do that, Chelsea?
I have quite a few bags. But it is, I mean, when you think yeah. about it, like you're not going to get this stuff anywhere.
No, you're correct. I believe they called Chelsea a frequent flyer because she was in there. But I also think it was a frequent flyer because you were able to use your Walt Disney World annual pass holder discount for certain merchandise.
Which was nice.
Yeah. That's good to note. Mm-hmm.
And they also, I did want to buy one more thing the last night, and the shop closed and that sucked. But then the next day it wasn't open. So that, yeah. But when you go out, I didn't even notice this when we were boarding.
No, I didn't either.
I don't think it was open when we were boarding.
It must have had like a scrim over it or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something must have covered it, because there was right in the wall, there was some more things to buy. So there were some t-shirts.
Last chance.
Yeah.
Last chance options. And it was not the same merchandise that was in the gift shop on board.
Totally different and also still exclusive. So make sure you save a little extra room in your luggage, because you'll need it.
Or be like Mary Alice and just bring 15 bags with you.
Yeah, do that. You could do that.
Just live local and bring your entire car to
fill. That's right. Okay, ladies, were you all worried about what to wear on the Star Cruiser?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I was as well. Do you think that we managed to pull off some pretty, I'll go neat. Do you think we pulled off some pretty neat Star Wars bounding outfits?
I mean, I kind of feel like we rocked it. if I'm being completely honest.
I mean, social media was a buzz with, wow, you know, I love that. Or you, I love your outfit, your costume. I wouldn't say we were costumed because we were not. There were many that were. And if you would like to wear your costume and be fully immersed in that manner, you are more than welcome to. We chose not to do that, but did go for, you know, a style like we were in a space passengers. And we did spend quite some time harping over what to wear. So we don't want you to have to do that. We're going to give you a few pointers right now. So Ginger, what would you say is like the best advice for deciding what to pack clothing wise?
So I did not want to spend a ton of money on things that I would like never wear again.
Same.
So I tried to like layer with pieces that I already had. Like the first night to dinner, I wore just kind of like an earth tone dress that I already owned, but I put a vest over it to kind of do like a Han Solo bound look. I did a similar thing earlier in the day before I changed for dinner, where I had that same vest with like just a normal long sleeve t-shirt and a pair of jeans, just to kind of make it look like Han Solo. And I think that that came across, because actually on one of the comments for our YouTube tour of the room, you can just barely see me as I'm showing things, like my reflection in the mirror. And someone commented, like, my favorite thing is that the person filming that is wearing a Han Solo vest. And I was like, yes, I achieved my objective. They knew what I was going for.
Nailed it. So
I tried to just use things I already had or buy a couple of pieces that I might actually wear again in real life.
Yeah, the same way. I did not want to invest a lot of money in clothes that I was never actually going to wear again. So I just tried to piece together what was in my closet. You know, I did not go for a Han Solo bounding look. I just tried to look like I was a space passenger most of the time. So I just wore like a gray pair of jeans and a gray activewear shirt. And I bought this black vest that was hooded to wear over it. And I bought a belt to cinch under it. So I felt like I was going to be a part of the galaxy. But you know, for dinner, we did try to dress a little nicer. So, you know, between us, we had some star skirts, we had some star dresses, and they weren't anything super fancy. We just kind of got them on Amazon, you know, but they looked the part. And it made us feel the part.
Mm-hmm. And I liked being able to have a little fun with it too, again, without spending a ton of money, just like a few, you know, little pieces or accessories. Like my favorite thing, as they know, was my face tattoos. I put on gold, like star face tattoos, and I was Space Chelsea. And it was just fun because I'm not going to walk around at home like that. But there, it was totally acceptable. Yeah. I think it's, you know, you could use a lot of stuff that's in your closet and repurpose and just focus on some accessories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. Like a good, weirder looking belt and a good cuff bracelet can go a long way for you while you're there. Mm-hmm.
And also too, you know, if you don't want to do the bounding or you don't want to do the full costume thing, there were still people there in like regular shorts and t-shirts. So if you want to just wear a Star Wars t-shirt and a pair of shorts, you're totally free to do that. And so especially on that Galaxy's Edge day, because you can't wear like a full costume into Galaxy's Edge, it's against the park regulations. A whole bunch more people on that day were just wearing Star Wars t-shirts. You know, I had on a Star Wars printed dress. Several people had on Star Wars mini ears. And so going into the parks, definitely most people tended to dress in just regular park clothes.
Yeah. And you're going to want to be comfortable and as coolly, I guess the word's not coolly, as comfortably dressed as possible, because we are in Central Florida and most months out of the year, it's hot, if not also hot and humid. So definitely dress accordingly would be my recommendation. But I think we should talk a little bit more about Galaxy's Edge and like all the things that you can do while you're there. Should we talk about getting there?
Yeah. The whole process.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So on your second day, you actually get an excursion, like you're on a cruise. So you get to visit Batuu, which is in Galaxy's Edge, which is in Disney's Hollywood Studios. And you have a suggested time that you can get your transport to there, but you can really walk up and wait in line anytime. It's not like a mad dash to get in line for that. Before you board your transport, you're taken into the climate simulator where you are given a debrief. So I thought that was really good. They kind of went over the expectations of what you could do while you're in Galaxy's Edge, gave you a few reminders. But probably the coolest part while you're in there is that they gave you an exclusive pin that said that you were a Halcyon passenger. So that pin you were expected to wear when you were in Galaxy's Edge, because it designated that you were not just a regular Walt Disney World guest that day. You were actually a part of the Halcyon cruise ship. So really cool, really unique. We were allowed to get on our transport, which was completely immersive as well.
It reminded me a little bit of if you've gone on Rise of the Resistance, kind of like the transport. It wasn't as immersive in that sense, but it was like you didn't feel like you were getting on a bus or a shuttle. You really felt like it was still all a part of it. You're on your transport pod. It was super quick to get over to the Halcyon entrance to Batuu, where what was nice about it was it's an enclosed area with ceiling fans. They have buckets of bottled water that you could grab. So you could go in and out throughout the day if you just want to take a break from the heat, grab a water bottle without paying for it. Like, it was a nice little area. It was almost like when you're on a real cruise and, you know, they have kind of their stations set up, in port. It was similar to that. So that was cool. And then you got to go into Batuu and you could choose what you wanted to do. You know, there was missions that took place there, which I know Ginger and I were kind of running all over at one point, you know, doing everything. But you also get Lightning Lane included for Smuggler's Run and Rise of the Resistance and a reservation at Oga's. The drinks, you know, nothing is included at Oga's, but the reservation is, which, to be honest, right now is like gold trying to get an Oga's reservation. And then those Lightning Lane passes, which is for any time. So you're not stuck into a certain time that you have to be there. You can just go at your leisure or wherever your story takes you.
And what was really cool about Smuggler's Run in particular is that a part of the pre-show actually changed because they recognized our M-bands that we were Halcyon passengers. And they actually said, oh, I see we have some passengers from the Halcyon. Like, they had the character say that. And so that was really neat. And also, too, included in that excursion is you get a lunch meal voucher for Docking Bay 7. So they do serve lunch back on the ship if you want to go back and eat there. Or you can eat at Docking Bay 7, or you can do both.
Like
we did. Yeah. So we ate two lunches that day and it was fabulous. I would totally recommend that.
Yeah. Also, with your lunch at Docking Bay 7, it was really neat because you could mobile order. It was already included. Your credit for that meal was already preloaded on your My Disney Experience app. You just mobile order like everything else. And if you are over 21, you do have an alcoholic beverage that's included with your lunch.
And for kids or people who maybe don't want that alcoholic beverage, you can get a dessert instead.
So don't eat too much though at Docking Bay 7, because like we said, we had both. And remember, there's different stuff on the buffet than the first day for lunch. So you'll want to make sure that you save at least a little bit of room to see what's new and try it.
And you also want to make sure you're back on your transport pod by 4 o'clock. They do run continuously, but after 4 o'clock, you will need to find another way back, which basically means you'll have to go out the front of Hollywood Studios and call a cab and go reboard the Star Cruiser. And for me, that would just take away from it.
Yep. That's no fun. You're not going to be fully immersed anymore. So stay in your Star Wars bubble.
Yeah. And to that, I would say stay in Batuu. I did hear some people saying like, I'm going to go to Tara Tara. I'm like, no, what are you doing? Because it was so fun. Because Galaxy's Edge is so immersive itself, you didn't feel like you were, you know, like in the Magic Kingdom for like a couple hours. You were still part of this story. And my point of view of Batuu changed being on the, you know, coming off the Star Cruiser as it would if I came in, you know, just as a guest for the day into Hollywood Studios. So stay exactly like you said, stay in that bubble.
Yes. And there's so much to do in that area, Galaxy's Edge and Batuu. You really don't need to venture out anywhere else. You're not going to be sitting there twiddling your thumbs waiting for transport to pick you up.
And there's so many missions. Like I didn't even complete all of them. And it's cool to see. Like I'm excited to go back on my next trip to kind of see the things that I never noticed before that were for guests of the Star Cruiser.
So Chelsea mentioned that you could go back to the ship at any time. The transportation was continuous. It's important to note that there are activities that are going on the ship while you're in Batuu. So if you do want to head back over and check those optional things out, you're more than welcome to do that. You can go back and forth as much as you'd like. And some of the activities that were happening on the Halcyon Star Cruiser while your day at Batuu is also happening are things for the younglings. So yes, everything has a special name. So kids, 7 and under are called younglings, and they had special activities that were just for them on the ship. Things like droid racing. So be sure to make sure that you're checking out your data pad and the daily schedule of what's going on, because beyond those optional events, there are a lot of entertainment experiences, storytelling that goes on, trainings and missions that you want to make sure that you are a part of.
I honestly think that the best part of this experience, because, you know, obviously everyone, when you get back from something like this, is asking like, oh, what do you think? What do you think? And what I keep telling everybody is that the character experiences on Star Cruiser are unlike anything I've ever, and I've done a ton of character meals at Walt Disney World, you know, a ton of character meet and greets, the special parties like the Halloween party and the Christmas party where you get more character interactions. None of that comes anywhere close though to what you get on the Star Cruiser. We were watching kids and adults alike spend hours with these characters, like immersed in story with them. And some of the characters are unique to the Halcyon. You know, they are characters created for Star Cruiser. Some of the characters are characters that you will know and recognize. And having the ability to have that level of interaction with them is part of what makes this experience so valuable to me as a Star Wars fan. But I think it's also something that anyone can enjoy and appreciate, even if they're not a hardcore Star Wars fan.
Which is me, not a hardcore Star Wars fan, huge Disney fan, and like Ginger, have experienced just about everything that Disney has to offer. This was incredible. I may not have known every single article that was in there, every little detail from like the names of every ship or every single, you know, secondary character, but I do have an appreciation for it. And it was just incredible. We, some of us have children that were aboard. Of course, our children weren't with us on this trip, but I can see how my kids would have just died. Because, you know, adults were just about, you know, in that same shock and awe of this is an experience, and no one is shooing you away from a particular character because you've had your time or your autograph or your picture. You truly can make your story while you're there. And if you want to spend your entire time with one of the main characters, going about the ship with that character the entire time, then you can do that. But there are also lots of missions on board too, certain communications that are sent on your data pad. As soon as you check in, you're kind of asked where your allegiances lie. The data pad has all your communications on it. You can speak with different characters that way, and there will be prompts for you to respond to. And based on what you say, that's your story. And those are the missions that you can choose to follow. you don't have to follow them all. You can do as much or as little as you'd like. And I think that's another important point here, is that a lot of people may feel uncomfortable being a part of the story or feel like they're an introvert and not comfortable doing those things, but you really do get to make your own story while you're there.
Mm-hmm. And I love that as far as the experiences goes, that kids and adults are treated equally, in the sense where, like, in other, you know, Disney things, if there's a kid, maybe I'm like, all right, let the kid go. On this, I was like, yep, give me my lightsaber. It's my turn. Like, let's go. So I did like that. It was like on the same level for everyone. And it was just, you got to do some really freaking cool things, like go to lightsaber training.
Yeah, that was my favorite thing we did. I absolutely loved that. I also really enjoyed the bridge training, where you get to learn how to work the weapon systems and some of the other elements of the ship.
Yeah. And those things, the bridge training and your lightsaber training, those are built into your schedule. So the whole passenger list is not trying to do those activities at the same time. They are already designated times on your schedule while you're there. So you don't have to worry about, when do I need to be there? Like, do I need to be the first in line? You're all going to have your turn, and definitely don't miss those things, because they were the highlights of our trip, I think, for all of us.
Yeah. I would say those are probably two of my favorite like things we did.
And the storylines continue while you're in those trainings, which I think is really incredible that Disney literally thought of every single element down to the ice cubes here, and just, you're completely immersed the entire time.
So to close this one out today, do you want to tell me what your favorite part of this whole experience was? Because I know that there's a lot there to choose from, but are you able to narrow it down to just one item? I guess we can start with Mary Alice.
Oh man, that's hard, because everything was so exciting and so immersive. There were some big elements that I really, really enjoyed, but I'm also a big foodie and I love to eat. So I have to say the food was probably my favorite part, but I'll be even more specific than that. Something we didn't mention before is that on your last night, there is a late evening after dinner buffet of all sweets. And I love sweets. I have a huge sweet tooth. And so that was probably my favorite food part, because I just got to load up on all sorts of sweet treats.
And mine was, I really loved the Sublight Lounge, not just for the drinks, but like I mentioned earlier, the whole atmosphere. But I do have to add a second, that the lightsaber training was really cool.
I know. Can we pick two, Marcella? Like, don't make us pick one.
I did bring up if you could narrow it down to one.
So. Okay.
I will agree with Chelsea that my favorite activity we did was lightsaber training. But I think my favorite just overall thing about Star Cruiser is the uniqueness of it. You're not going to have this experience just anywhere. And I think that level of planning that they've put into every part of the process, the level of attention to detail and storytelling, it is the great world building of the Star Wars universe, but it's the immersive storytelling of Disney married into one experience. And it's fantastic.
Yeah. I would totally agree. Mm-hmm. And if you want more information about any of the topics that we've discussed tonight, we do have lots of blogs that are going to be published. So if you want to know more about the experiences, or more just about the room or the dining or anything we've discussed, you will definitely have more resources to check out.
Yes. And going up tomorrow on youtube.com/marvelousmousetravels is going to be an overall ship tour video. So we already have a room tour posted if you want to go check that out. But we're also just going to do a walkthrough of the whole ship and give you a feel for the layout.
Well, thank you so much, ladies, for coming on and sharing that awesome experience with me and with our viewers today. And I also wanted to thank you as well for listening to this episode. Please don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. Be one of the first to know when a new episode has been released. If you'd like to get in touch with one of our agents featured on today's show or any other travel advisor with Marvelous Smash Travels to plan a Star Wars Galactic Cruiser experience, please visit our website, www.marvelousmashtravels.com. I'll provide a link in our show notes. We hope you have a marvelous week, and we'll talk to you soon.
Bye, everybody. Bye.